And now, the continuing adventures of Superhero Speak, episode 33. Hey everyone, have you been on Rhymes with Geek lately? Well, if not, you should go check it out. There's some really great podcasts out there. In fact, there's two hosted by a guy, Frank Duran, and one is Real Books Don't Have Batman, and the other is Crisis on Infinite Podcasts. And that is a crossover podcast featuring some of the guys from Rhymes with Geek. And yours truly will be on there on the episode recording tonight when this goes up. So you can find them on Rhymes with Geek. You can also find them on YouTube. So just search the Crisis on Infinite Podcast and Real Books Don't Have Batman. So check them out. It's really cool. This episode is John Pross of Pross Comics. John is an independent comic creator. He's done some one-shots called Slugger, Danger, High Voltage, Powers, and his ongoing series is called Posers. John was a really cool guy to talk to, and you should check out his books. You can find them currently through Hound Comics, and this conversation was a lot of fun, and we hope you enjoy it. So here we go. Listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave. And this week, we have a guest with us. He is the owner and operator of Pross Comics. I said that wrong, didn't I?
Nah, you said it right.
Okay. Everyone, welcome, John Pross.
How's everybody doing?
That's wonderful. We put the applause in post edit, so.
No problem.
So, all right, so For those listening who aren't familiar with your company, why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Oh, well, John Pross, Pross Comics, started this probably about 2 years ago. Got about 20 different people that work for me now from the Philippines, like Jimbo Salgado, Ryan Pasabe, Elmo Cabatiera. And we're currently putting out 3 books that are monthly titles. Got a couple Kickstarters up for them. We are currently doing a lot of tours, New York Comic Con, Philly Comic Con, a lot of the Wizard Worlds.
Okay.
Facebook page, all that stuff.
Are you right? Were you at Wizard World New York this year? Or?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay. I was there. I just, I'm friends with Greg Horn, so I'm usually working with him, and it was busy, so.
Artist Alley. We were in the booth.
Okay. How'd you guys make out there?
Oh, we did pretty good. I find make more money when you're not in Artist Alley for some reason.
Yeah, that can be true. Anymore, it seems like a lot of people are drawn towards the the autograph areas, you know, because the events are becoming more pop culture than they are comic books.
Yeah. Plus, Artist Alley, everybody else is selling prints. If I'm in a vendor area, I'm the only one selling the prints.
Right.
So, a lot less competition.
True.
Because if I'm right next to Greg Horn, I'm not getting as many sales.
Yeah, he does well. He does enough to cover his costs, as he always says.
Yeah, I was for Baltimore. That was like one of the only cons I ever did Artist Alley because I couldn't get a booth table. Mm-hmm. I was like right next to him. I walked in, I was like, ah, shit.
So how did you, let's go back, the way back machine. You're from New Jersey, born and raised, or?
Yes.
And,
South Jersey, around the Cherry Hill area.
Oh, okay. So is that where your love for comics began?
My love for comics began, my dad used to be really into baseball cards. So we would always go to a baseball card comic shop and just start reading comics from there.
Yeah.
Start reading Conan, probably not the best choice for a little kid growing up, but that's the one I picked. So,
what was it about Conan that drew you to the book?
All the violence, blood, cutting people up. Normal kid.
Yeah, I think a lot of kids like that.
Yeah, I actually got off comics for a while, though, because of just like school and all that stuff, and then I came back for Jim Lee's run on Uncanny. That brought me back into them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the definitely the time a lot of people jumped back on. We had
Jim Lee and Tom McFarlane and Rob Liefeld and all those guys over at Marvel, you know, when the artists became the superstars, basically, on the books.
Yeah. Well, art does move the books.
This is very true.
Not the best thing for a writer to say, but hey.
So, so then when did you start writing?
I started writing about 2 years ago. I mean, I always, like, as a kid, I used to write, like, little segments and stuff like that of, like, characters that I liked. I'd make up my own stories and all that, but didn't actually start doing this for employment-type deal. So about maybe 2-3 years ago when I was in FedEx.
Oh, okay. What did you do for FedEx?
I was a driver.
Oh, okay.
So owned my own route, 12, 14 hours a day running back and forth. See why I wanted to get out of that.
Yes. And what did you write first? What was your first big character that you came up with?
My first two books I actually wrote, I never published. Halfway through both of the books, I stopped because I was like, wow, this is crap. I can do so much better. So that's actually my problem. I take really long writing because every time I read it, I'm like, oh, I can do better. So I rewrite the same book like 12 times. A lot of the fans know that Posers, I actually published once. And then Hound was like, yeah, we like your book. It'd be better if you relaunched, like, you know, a number one with us. And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Give me the chance to rewrite it and redo it how I wanted to.
Right. Cool. But I guess, you know, that's true. Everyone's always their own worst critic. But that can be good. You know, it drives you to do better each time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what's the book Posers about?
Posers is about a group of superheroes pretending to be superheroes.
Okay.
They fake everything. They CGI everything in this elaborate studio they have in the basement of their headquarters. They say they're saving the world from aliens. Nobody can prove them wrong because nobody knows what aliens look like.
Right.
So then aliens actually show up, start messing up people on the planet. Everybody's like, well, this is what you do. This is what you save us from. You know, you stop alien invasions. A couple aliens ain't really a problem, right? So they got scammed their way out of that.
Oh, okay. That's actually a really interesting concept.
Thank you. The other book I have is Average Joe. That's about a policeman that lives in the city of Eden. Eden has the densest population of superpowered people. Like, one in every three people has a power.
Okay.
So he's a normal cop with no powers trying to police that community, which you can imagine is hard for him trying to write up somebody a ticket who could just burn the ticket with their mind or just, like, throw him across the street.
Right.
So it's basically a book about a cop getting beat up a lot.
Oh, okay. So, not necessarily the same genre, but kind of along the lines of Eureka, where you had a town full of extremely intelligent people doing all these weird experiments, and then you had the everyday police officer who was just trying to be a cop in the town and yet couldn't, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. For Eden, what's happened is like a whole like kind of backstory I don't want to go into too much.
Right.
But there's they outsource their police because there's so much, like, every day there's, like, a super battle. Like, destroying property and stuff like that. So the police have actually been reduced to basically bouncers, overpriced bouncers that just basically protect people. Just, like, say, oh, you can't go this way, there's a superhero fight going on. And then there's mercenaries from a company called Humbarton that actually does the police work. So it's, like, nobody respects police whatsoever. And this guy for the Average Joe comic, Joe, is a Filipino-American cop, and he just gets tired of basically being walked on. So that's why he just starts actually doing his job again, as opposed to everybody else who's like, doesn't do it at all.
Right. Okay. Cool. That actually sounds really interesting to me. I think I would definitely pick that up next time I see you at a con.
We're pretty much everyone.
So, who are, I guess, you know, besides Conan and the X-Men, who are some of your other favorite characters? Actually, you know what? Let's take this in a slightly different direction. Are you currently watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, I am watching it. I mean, I put it like this. Anything that's comic or sci-fi, I'm going to watch.
Okay.
I hate to say it, I watched Twilight. I watched Harry Potter. It's sci-fi, so I have to watch it. Whether I like it or not, that's a little bit different.
So
it's like a compulsion. Anything comics, it doesn't matter what kind of crap it is, I'm going to watch it.
Well, then, you sound like you're not too happy with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What is it about it that you're not happy with?
I don't know. It's just, like, as a writer, like, stories and stuff like that, like, I become more picky more like when I start doing this, like, mm-hmm. just like holes and stuff. Like, I even started, like, I put down a couple books because I noticed spelling errors in, like, Marvel and DC. And now that I edit my own stuff, just seeing that in their books just makes me, like, disgusted with it.
Okay.
But it's like, for them, I would, like, expect, like, more of a, I don't know, I'm guessing I'm expecting more Avengers, like, the story, like, with that. Like, this just seems, like, so generic.
Yeah, I think, I've read a lot of criticism about the show, and that's one of the things that I think people were going in expecting, you know, an Avengers TV show or a superhero TV show and got a S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, you know, their version of the secret agents and what the regular people have to do to compete in this world, you know, to make sure the world survives. And the
premise is real good. Regular agents trying to take down people with powers.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good premise, but it's just, I don't know, maybe at least like throw a name in there every once in a while. Like, you had Gravitron, but you didn't even see him do his Gravitron thing.
Well, that was his origin, you know? Come on, you gotta give it a little time.
I want to see a little bit more of powers. Like, when I saw the first previews, I thought the one guy was going to be Luke Cage.
Right, right.
So I saw that, I was like, oh, that got me, like, real hyped about it. I was like, oh, cool, they're actually going to be showing some, you know, characters in there.
But no.
Just some dude with a guy thing on his arm.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess it wasn't Luke Cage because they were saving him for the Netflix show that's coming out.
Didn't even know they had a Netflix show coming out.
Oh, you didn't hear the news? Yeah. Marvel has signed a deal with Netflix, an unprecedented deal. They're doing 4 shows. So it's Luke Cage, Daredevil. Shoot, I can't remember who the other two are off the top of my head. And then they're also doing a made-for-TV movie, which will be The Defenders. And the other piece of news that came out of all this is that if the Daredevil show does well and gets a lot of views, that will become a movie. Hmm. But let me see. I'm looking this up real quick.
Ben Affleck's doing Batman now.
Yeah, it's a shame we can't get them back. let's see. I'm just, bear with me for 1 second. Now, see, all the news articles are just talking about Luke Cage and, oh, shoot. Yeah, it was interesting because they announced it with very little detail. But I can't find it now. I'll have to, Jessica Jones. And that's right. Jessica Jones was the other one. And I can't find who the fourth one was. Oh, Iron Fist. Duh. Yeah. So Iron Fist, Luke Cage, that makes sense. Yes. Jessica Jones and then, and Daredevil. Right, and then if the Daredevil does well, they'll make that into a movie. So, you know, I guess that's kind of why they held off on using Luke Cage in the show, you know, so they could have him for this Netflix.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. They're saying 2015 is when they're going to be out. So they'll be you know, writing and getting the cast this next year, and then hopefully it'll be out. So I guess I have to get a Netflix account.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I've had a Netflix, but I never use it. I've had the same DVD sitting in my house for like almost a year.
Oh, well, that's what the problem with the model of keep it as long as you want is.
Yeah. Never have time to watch it.
So yeah, I mean, it's just, it'll be interesting because I hope they, you know, if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. lasts that long, and I hope it, you know, there's no reason it shouldn't, that there'll be tie-ins with those as well. You know, that would be cool.
Well, yeah, I would like to see everything get tied in together. Like, yeah. I heard they were doing that with, like, DC, with the possible Arrow and Nightwing tying into the Superman-Batman movie or something.
Yeah, I think Warner Brothers has to at this point. You know, they have to compete, you know. And, you know, unfortunately, when you're those two companies, you know, I mean, it's the same deal, I'm sure, with Microsoft and Apple. You know, when one does something, the other one has to do something similar. They're always going to be compared to each other. So, yeah, same thing with Microsoft and Sony with the Xbox and the PlayStation, you know. Oh, if company one's doing this, oh, company two's got to do this, you know. But, yeah. No, it should be good, though. Did you see the Thor tie-in episode with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, refresh my memory.
It was just this past week where the...
I didn't see this past week's one.
Oh, okay.
DVR.
All right, I don't want to ruin it for you. But,
it's okay, I'm sure you're not ruining too much.
Well, it's funny. Like, it only ties in... It ties in loosely with the movie. It's really... They're dealing with an Asgardian artifact in the episode.
Oh, wait, is that the staff thing or something?
Yes.
Okay, I saw the... I remember seeing the preview for it, right. Yeah,
so that was interesting. And then now they're talking about, before the movie, for the Captain America movie, there'll be a tie-in. They'll set something up on the show that will have an effect or a repercussion in the movie. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting, you know, that they're tying it all together as opposed to, you know, how it used to be where, okay, yeah, you made a Daredevil movie over here and then you made a Fantastic Four movie. And I know they were different studios, but yet they also had nothing to do with each other. Totally different worlds.
Yeah. Where Chris Evans plays two different people.
Yes. Do you play games at all?
If I have time, I've still got like four PS3 games that aren't even open.
Okay.
Still got to beat Arkham City, but I got Arkham Origins still.
With the Lego games, they have the new Marvel yes. Lego, and you know how like in games they have achievements now. So when you, the first time that you're on a board with Captain America and you meet the Human Torch, an achievement comes up says, "Hey, you look familiar." So yeah,
didn't get that far. I'm only able to play because my son likes that game too, so I can exactly. Sneak that in there.
I'm actually watching my son play it as I'm talking to you. So you're the writer, and you mentioned a couple of the artists that you've worked with. Is there any artist out there that is like your dream artist to work with?
Oh, definitely Jim Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent him a thing on Facebook about doing the cover. Never got back to me.
Oh, I wonder why.
I don't know. It's not like he's busy or anything. So he's artist.
You know, when you get up to that level, I even wonder if you look at your Facebook or if it's just a receptionist.
The message said it saw. It was seen.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few people out there.
To notify you when people see your messages but don't respond.
Right, that's true. yeah.
I had to try. I was sent a message. I was like, I don't care what it costs me. Can you just please do a cover?
Yeah. I think I would probably send a message and say, is there a better way to contact him?
Well, he's got a Facebook. I mean, you put a Facebook out there, you obviously want to be contacted by random people.
Of course. Yes, that's like, that's why there's the, you know, the fan pages where you can't become friends with them. You can only like the page. That's why they were invented. There are a few people that are actually on their Facebook pages. I do know that. But
he's on the Facebook page.
Hmm?
That's the only reason I even tried it. I was like, well, he does stuff and goes on there every once in a while.
Yeah.
More realistically, I have a couple people that I would work with that I've talked to about before, like Jamie Tindall, Don McTeague, Nay Rafina, a couple of the people that are currently with Big Dog Inc.
Okay, cool.
Is that like some of their colors and how they draw women? And one of my main characters, Slugger, is a woman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would definitely work. Another person who I like how they draw women is Greg.
Yeah, but something tells me he's probably expensive. Like, I talked to Jamie. Like, Jamie is funny. On his website, he's like, oh, yeah, it's like $800 for this. I talked to him in person. He's like, $250. $200.
Okay. All right.
I didn't get the chance to. I was too busy trying to be at my booth to make some money. Me and Greg was right across from me.
He's definitely approachable. I'll give you that, though. You could go up and talk to him about it. Just,
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy. He pulled out his folder of top secret Marvel's Legends stuff. I'm like, it's not really that top secret. It's all over your Facebook page, man.
Some of it. Not all of it.
Yeah, but he did have one exclusive print that I liked, the Batman and Catwoman one.
Oh, yes.
That one I didn't mind, actually. Like, he's one of the few people I actually buy prints off of.
Oh, okay.
Like, cool. There's like maybe like three people that I'll buy prints off, because I got like 300 some prints myself, so.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So, cool. So you got the three books out. How many issues out do you have for those so far?
Right now they're all on. The Demonic one is on number one. It's being made right now. Mm-hmm. Posers is on number two. Average Joe is on number two. It's basically, we could get them done quicker, but marketing wise and stuff like that, like, I try and make it so it comes out during a con, like a big con, you know?
Right,
so
right.
Variant covers, exclusive covers, all that stuff. And we do have one shot that was printed, Danger High Voltage. That was actually an anthology book.
Oh, okay.
So I had like 20 different people worked on that and did like little parts here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually only wrote like 3 pages in that book.
Oh, okay. So that makes your job easier.
Yeah. All I had to do was I made up 10 different parts. I summarized what wanted to be in the part. And then I had different people write it, pencil it, color it, ink it, all that stuff.
Cool. What was that? What's the story on that one?
It's about two kids that are grown up. They're like hero worshipping. Mm-hmm. And it turns out one goes into the army and one gets blessed with like godlike powers type deal, where it becomes like a, what's it called? Like their arrow type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's got powers. The one guy joins the military. They both like their ideas of how to be a hero get warped because they're put into the real world. Like, right. The guy that's in the military, marksman, he starts becoming, like, just robotic, killing whoever they tell him to kill.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, Voltage, he just gets so sick of the same people getting out of jail, killing people, and, like, he finally just snaps and is like, you know what? These people shouldn't be here, and starts killing people. Even people again, his web, because he's like, well, you're part of the problem, too. So at the very end, these two people are best friends and then split apart over the years, come back together because the government sends marksmen to kill Voltage.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. There's a lot of, there's definitely a lot of almost juxtaposition in your writing. A definite theme, you know, the yin and yang of the real world versus the fun of the superhero world.
Yeah. Yeah. I add a lot of satire stuff in the books I write. So. Like posers, I like to make fun of certain things, like the guy that's on the team that just shoots arrows.
Mm-hmm.
I have it later on where they discuss where he was on one team that was taking, they were doing a, what's it called? they were basically doing a betting on when he was going to die.
Oh, okay.
The cash poll that was running to see when he was going to die. Like, yeah. What mission.
Cool. And, it'd be hard to be on a team or somebody like that. And somebody kept saying, hey, so when do you think he's going to die?
He was tired because he was just getting tired of people being like, like he's going this extra miles to keep up with these people with all these powers. And here they are on betting on which mission he was going to die. And like some people are like, well, this is my week if he dies. So it's like they're not really looking out for him, watching his back. Type
right. Of. I mean, you can imagine, you know, Wonder Woman and Superman betting on when Green Arrow is going to die. You know, like...
It's just like, well, it's my week, and there's a robot right behind them, and, you know, turn the other way.
Exactly.
That guy's annoying anyway. I just have to save him, like, 20 times a year.
We don't really get along too well, so I'm just gonna, you know... Oh no, there's this shard of kryptonite. I can't help you, Holly. You're on your own.
That's what all the people that are on the team, they actually do have powers,
mm-hmm.
but it's bad powers. Like, for instance, the one guy, his name is Slipstream.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry, wrong character, Split Second.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fastest man in the world, but because of his powers, every part of him, like his mind, is always racing too.
Okay.
So he's got major ADD, ADHD, and the only time he can even focus a little bit is when he's completely smoked out. Sounds like he's not exactly the poster boy for being on a team.
Right.
Like, the only time he's useful is if he's smoking.
Well, it would make sense. It's funny. That's a concept I would like to see them explore with The Flash, you know? Well, you've already done it, so I can just read that, but, you know, cause they've done it like in Kingdom Come where, the Flash has moved around so much, he can't even stand still anymore. So he's just constantly running around in that book, you know, the man yeah. out of time, you know? what would you do to slow yourself down to relax if you were that kind of character? You know, that makes perfect sense to me.
And then we got the other girl, Slugger. She's the daughter of Mars, the Roman god of war.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the daughter of him. What happened was he forced himself on a woman's activist. So she hates all men, but she's got this thing inside of her where it's like, unless she's hitting on somebody, she basically feels like she's like at the back of a really long line where everybody's like paying in pennies. Like she's just got the need to release and hit people. Like the only time she's calm and herself is when she's hitting people. The rest of the time she's just like one step away from losing it all mm-hmm. the time. So, but for some reason she's got a big following. So the head of the team, Mr. Amazing, is like, I want her on the team.
Cool. That works too. Yeah, it's kind of like the I don't know. That's an interesting one. I can't think of a good comparison to that.
Well, I'll try and make up some original characters.
Yes. No, that's what makes it so good, you know. It's an original idea.
Average Joe, the main villain or villainess, is a girl whose powers are charged by sexual pheromones. So she's basically got a Black Widow thing going on.
Okay.
Like, she charges her powers by having sex with people, and then at the very end, blows their head off.
Oh, of course. Right? I mean,
yep.
Makes sense.
Oh, yeah. It's only natural. It's same tale told in every children's book.
Yes, but, you know, you have the... you know, the praying mantis, you know, it exists in the insect world. It's totally logical.
So that's actually the first supervillain he tries to go after in Average Joe.
Okay.
And naturally he gets beat up a lot. Cool. So.
Yeah. it's tough. It's tough being a cop in a world of superheroes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can only imagine, though. If you ever, in a book like that, if you ever got permission from Marvel or DC to throw one of their characters in there, who would it be?
Deadpool.
Okay.
He's just somebody I would love to write. Like, everybody else is just, like, half of them are played out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't want Wolverine in my book.
No.
They just, like, made him, like, an immortal, almost. But it's, like, there's, like, 20 ways that, like, they've said you can kill him. But for some reason, he's, like, takes on Galactus and stuff like that.
Right, right.
So, Deadpool, just because I like comedy in my books, mm-hmm. and with him, I could get away with going overboard.
Right. And breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that stuff. Just have him in the book be like, hey, John. Just, like, randomly.
Oh, well, then there's even more reason to do it. Have him talking to the writer. Have him go, hey, John, I think in this scene, I should kill these people by doing this.
I just feel like he's shooting, like, the Hulk or something. And just turn around and be like, John, I need a bigger gun now.
Perfect.
So, yeah, that's the only character I would write for Marvel.
How about DC? Anyone on that side of the fence?
Well, you know, I like how they start the whole new, was it Earth 2?
Well, the new 52?
Like, no, the Earth 2. Where, or Earth 1. Where Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are dead.
Oh, okay. I haven't, I read the Court of Owls books when the New 52 started, and I'm not as much of a DC fan. I'm not as caught up, so there's an Earth one where they're all dead, okay.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the apocalypse invasion, like, they got killed saving mm-hmm. the world type deal.
Okay.
But it's, like, all new characters. That's the one where the Green Lantern is gay.
Oh, okay. All right, and that's part of the controversy, right? Because it's not the primary world. It's an alternate world.
Yeah, it's an alternate world.
Right, so they're upset.
It's a completely different timeline, so it's right. Not like it even really matters too much.
It almost sounds like their take on the Ultimates, where...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I like it because it's like they're going into newer characters type deal. Like, right. I don't like writing characters that have been around forever.
Well, that's true. I mean, we're...
Like, I might write Batman just because I would want him to get beat up a little bit more or mm-hmm. shot a little bit more. Because no matter what, yeah, he's a genius. He's really good at fighting. But if you got 20 people around you, you're getting hit.
Right.
You're going to get cut. It doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah, the Bat God gets old very quickly.
Yeah. So I would like to do him just to make a more realistic Batman. Like, you mm-hmm. know, still badass, but more realistic.
Right. No, that's I totally agree. I mean, look at Superman. 75 years this year, and... I mean, number one, as a writer, I'm sure everyone looks and goes, what can you do with this character? Every story has been written after 75 years. But also, you know, he's invulnerable. And, you know, you can do the old, attack his heart, go after Lois Lane. But that's also been done quite a few times. So it's like, I can understand why writers wouldn't want to touch him, you know, at this point.
Well, I do like the Justice thing they did.
Which one?
That was good. The Injustice, God Among Us.
Yes.
The comic book they made for that, I like that.
Well, it was an interesting story. You know, what would it take for Superman to lose it and go on a killing rampage?
Mm-hmm. So that I did like, but yeah, usually Superman stories, I don't even like them.
Right. Not anymore. You know, I mean...
Although they did make him more Kryptonian now, so I like him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it was the Boy Scout and like, oh, I'm always holding back type deal.
Right. But, you know, it's funny. I'm proud to say that the only story I have in succession order from the Superman titles is from the appearance of, Doomsday up until the death of Superman. And then I don't have any of the Funeral for a Friend, and then I have, like, the return when they have the four Superman, and then until he finally comes back and it's, you know, finally him in the costume and everything again. But other than that, you know, I might have an issue here and there that I've gotten just because I like the cover, but that's the only, like, collecting I ever did of Superman. And it's like, you know, it's when he died.
Yeah.
Because, right.
Well, that's because it was, like, historic. That's another thing about my universe is when somebody dies, they're dead. They're not coming back.
Right.
I'm even thrown in some jokes about that.
A lot of writers I meet that are coming up now definitely fall into that category. And I think they're just tired of the characters that stay forever. You know, yeah. It's because it's hard to be fresh. And
well, that's the thing. You got to create new characters. Like, I can understand not killing your main characters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if you're saying you're killing, like, they killed Captain America, they killed Superman, they killed Batman, but they come back.
Right, exactly.
Why even say you're killing them? Just say they're going on vacation.
Right, even they just killed Damian Wayne in the Bat books, and not even 2 issues later they show the open grave and that there's a bunch of clones, and it's like, really?
So, can't even wait a year now.
Right. You know, I mean, Grant Morrison did say that was his plan from the beginning. He came in, he wanted to introduce Damian, take him through becoming Robin, becoming the sidekick, and then killing him off and ending there and walk away from the book. And then he told the Batman story he wanted to. So, of course, it's DC who now turns around and goes, oh, we own this character, so we can bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like you said, not even a year. It loses some of the impact when you don't even wait a year to bring the character back.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the idea of Damian growing up to possibly be a Batman candidate. Because obviously he's more willing to kill, so.
Very true. Yes, that's, that always was interesting. I do have a couple of those issues where it's just like, you know, why can't we kill him? They're just going to come back. You know, like, that's his attitude. And it's like, yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's like, just throw a batarang through Jerker's head. He'll be back in, like, 5 issues. Doesn't matter.
But even regardless of that, it's...
You won't be blamed anymore. Be like, hey, I tried to kill him. It's not my fault he's back. This happens.
Yeah, they don't ever... I mean, not much. They don't ever really touch on that. I mean, they have in the movie universe, definitely. The escalation of... Oh, well, you put on a mask and started beating people up, so we'll put on masks and start beating people up. But, yeah. You know, they never touched on it as much in the comics where it's like, you know what? You've been around for a long time. All these guys are still terrorizing and killing people.
I don't know. That's one thing I like about the Punisher. He's like, nah, I'm just going to shoot you.
Right. But not only that, you've also spawned new crazy people that are going around and killing the citizens of Gotham. Like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, just leave it to the police.
Yes.
That's the comic I want to do, Batman's Day Off.
All right. I expect that written by the end of the year.
I'll work on it. I was actually going to do videos. This was something else I was looking into doing, like spoof videos mm-hmm. of what Batman does when nobody's around. Like, have him show up to, you know, interrogate some punk, but finds out from his answer machine he won't be there for like 2 hours. So he's like raiding the fridge, doing the risky business dance in the guy's clothes. Just like all kinds of crap. Then the guys walk in when he's doing the dance and he's like, you shouldn't have seen that. And the next scene is, like, Jim Gordon looking like, huh, so you said the Joker killed these two? It's like, wait a minute, isn't that a batarang mark? And then you see Batman beyond just pull out the batarang again, like, you shouldn't have noticed that.
Oh, that would be good. Yes, that would be interesting. It's kind of like Warner Brothers' idea for a new TV show. I don't know if it's going to... come to fruition or not, was what you call it, Gotham PD.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was, you know, the police in Gotham City. Of course, they're saying no Batman in it. You know, this is pre Batman. So it's like, well, then who's
going to
watch it?
So it's just
going to
be people sitting around.
Well, that's the whole thing. Who's going to watch a show that's just about a police show in Gotham?
Especially if it's before Batman, because all the villains showed up when Batman showed up.
Right.
So,
all the interesting villains.
NYPD Blue, just Gotham City Blue.
Yeah. Though Kevin Smith had a really good idea. Do a show of young Bruce Wayne at like a boarding school, but, you know, training to be Batman.
Hmm.
Which might be...
If Kevin Smith did it, I would watch it. Because he's like one of the only people, like, he can do, like, usually books, I won't like a whole lot of dialogue. Like, I like stuff that's to the point. But he's one person, he can have pages and pages of dialogue and I'll still find it interesting.
True. No, I definitely agree to that. Like, well, that's what he does, you know. He's really good at dialogue. He's not a big action person, you know.
Yeah.
But he's good at getting inside of people's heads and, you know, putting the truth on paper, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know, how people really think, you know. Yes, there's the polite stuff we say in company, but then there's the way we really think about things.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and it's funny because he came up with that idea just watching the trailer for Arkham Origins, and they do a quick flash of him as a, you know, boarding school age kid getting beat up, you know, and he thought, oh, like, think about it, you know, he sits there and he meets people that are influential in training him and him becoming Batman. It's like, that could work, you know, because
yeah, but how long could it work for?
Well, it depends on like what is going on and how true they stay to, you know, the character building to be Batman. Not like Smallville, where they definitely got cold feet towards the last couple seasons and just wanted to get, even though they made a promise, you know, no capes, no flights, they started, you know, getting it so it's more geared towards the Donnerverse. You know, by the end it was like, okay, yeah, that's Superman from the Donner movies.
Yeah, don't even get me started on Smallville. I can't believe I waited a whole season for a Doomsday Superman fight that lasts like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Nah, I believe that. Like, you don't even see him, like, you just see the Justice League is like just on the ground. You even see him fight them.
Right. No, I will give you that. It was so funny because they had such an interesting take on Doomsday.
Yeah.
Where they, like, the first time I've seen him really try to be humanized in some way, you know, that it wasn't him. He was designed to be that way. He doesn't have control over these feelings and this rage. And yet, right, exactly. They built up for such a long time to that fight. And then, yeah, it was 5 seconds and then there's a cave in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like that stuff like in Smallville.
Yeah. I still have all 10 seasons on DVD, but...
Oh, yeah, so do I. But like I said, that's just because it's a comic book.
Exactly. All right, so now we know that you're, you know, you would bring Daredevil into a comic. Not Daredevil, sorry. Deadpool into a comic.
I don't bring Daredevil if you had the Ben Affleck look. And I could kill him.
Wait a second.
There's one of my prints I got my one guy doing. Mm-hmm. It's of five Batmans. It's Christian Bale and Michael Keaton holding down Ben Affleck, beating him. And then you got Val Kilmer and George Clooney with the bat nipples in the back saying, well, at least they're not picking on us anymore.
So you don't have high hopes for him as Batman? Is that what I'm hearing here?
Well, you know what? I give everybody a chance.
Okay.
Like, there was a couple movies he was in, like Armageddon, I liked him in.
Right.
Daredevil, I obviously didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It still wasn't as bad as it could have been, and that might not have been all his fault.
Right.
So I'll give him a chance as Pat, you know?
True, true.
But I think I'm definitely going to capitalize on everybody hitting him.
Well, the thing with... one of the things that gets me is, you know, a lot of the people defending him at this point, you know, one of the things they said, well, you know, it doesn't matter who it is, as long once they put that cape and cowl on it, it's easy to be Batman. Like, no, it's not really. You know, there's still aspects that you want to see.
You're gonna put Justin Timberlake in there,
right?
I think people would notice that's not really Batman.
But I mean, there's you know, there's aspects of the character even when he has the cape and cowl on. It's not just about a big physical guy dressed as a bat beating people up. You know, like he has to be the thoughtful detective. He has to be the brooding lost soul that lost his parents. You know, there's aspects of the character. It's not just, oh, he's a guy in a cape beating people up. It doesn't matter who's under the cowl. It's like, yes, it does. And then, you know, the whole, oh, well, he's played billionaires before. He's played Playboys. So, of course, he can be Bruce Wayne. It's like, yeah.
As the detective type.
Right. But, I mean, does he have the gravitas to be the, I'm a billionaire Playboy, but I'm actually hiding a secret, you know, and it comes through in my acting. It's like, I don't know. We have yet to see that, you know. And, of course, then you see all these...
Heath Ledger, he's told he's playing the Joker. I was like, nah.
Right.
And then now I don't see anybody else as that role.
That's true. But I don't know, whole new universe. Obviously, they're going to bring another Joker in eventually.
Yeah. But it's got some high standards to live up to.
Yes. But yeah, no, it's... you know, you see all the pictures online too of Affleck bulking up to play Batman, and they're like, "Look, see how serious he's taking the role. He's bulking up." It's like every actor does that. He hired a trainer. Yeah. Like, come on, I want to see test shots of him in the costume, and I want to see, you know, screen tests of him delivering some lines. You know, we won't know anything until the previews hit the theaters. So,
even that's just the best parts. So I won't trust that either.
Well, that's true too. If they show, if he doesn't talk in the previews, I might not go see the movie.
Because I saw Superman Returns, the trailers. I was like, oh yeah, that's gonna be a good movie.
You were fooled.
I was like, oh man, I already saw the best 2 minutes of that movie. You know it's bad when you're at a movie theater and you got a wife that doesn't like comics, but she's still there and she's like, when is the fighting going to start?
Oh, man. Okay, I just got confirmation. Sorry. I don't know if you're a Doctor Who fan at all. I'm assuming not, since it's the day of the Doctor and we're recording this, and when you emailed me, I was just watching the end of the 50th anniversary, so I assumed I didn't think it was going to run that long, so I assumed, okay, he's not watching it, so he's not into it.
Yeah, I lost like a million fans just by saying that on live. We can edit that out, right? I love Doctor Who.
Okay, good. We'll leave it right there. No, but at the end of the episode, there's an older gentleman talking to Matt Smith. I'm like, and I'm sitting there the whole time looking at him like, I know him. Why do I know that person? And here it was Tom Baker, who was, when I was a kid, that's when I watched Doctor Who as a kid, he was the Doctor, you know. And, you know, there's just like a cute little scene between the two of them, you know, it's just a cameo. And it made me sit there, you know, but yeah, I just got confirmation from someone that, like, oh yeah, that was Tom Baker. And, which also makes me wonder, is he the oldest living doctor? Like, you know, going back, he was the fourth. You know, I don't know if I know the first doctor is definitely not around anymore. I don't know if the two after him are. It would make sense, though.
I can't say I hate Doctor Who because I've never, like, seen anything of it. The only reason I hate it is because one of my first cons I was at, I got like all these great prints from all these great artists, you know, it's like beautiful art. And then I had this guy beside me selling prints of the phone box or the phone booth.
Right.
And this guy was selling these prints of just a phone booth. It's like the crappiest drawing. And I'm like, what is that? What are you selling that these people are coming over and spend like $20 to buy? And I'm like over here with like Iron Man, Superman, Hulk. I'm getting like one out of every four of his customers, maybe.
Right, right.
So that's my only reason for not liking it. I've never actually watched it, and everybody keeps trying to tell me to get into it, so I might eventually at some point.
No.
But I'm behind on everything. I'm still in season one of Breaking Bad, so.
Yeah. that's a show, too, that now it's like, because I am one of those, I like watching shows when they're on DVD, so you can watch the whole thing at once. That's why I kind of like the Netflix idea. But with Breaking Bad, it was such a pop culture phenomenon. It's hard to like watch it without people going, oh, did you know this is what's going to happen here? And, oh, you know, when this happens in season two, it's like, you know, you can't get away from it.
Well, I did watch a couple episodes when it first came out, but then it's like, you know, life. So didn't get to watch the rest. Finally caught up on the first season.
Life gets in the way.
A couple more to go.
Yes, there are. It's funny. There are very few shows anymore that I get to watch uninterrupted. You know, when you're married with children, that kind of.
For some reason, if you tour around the world and then when you come home, you can't just watch 48 hours straight of Breaking Bad. I don't know. Something about like spending family time. Or
exactly.
It or something. I don't know. Some weird crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only thing I seriously watch live when it's on is, at this point, is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I definitely need to watch that when it's on. But other than that, it's like, yeah, exactly. You know.
Yeah, the only thing I actually watched when it came on all the time was Dexter.
Okay, yeah.
That was it. Anything else? It's always DVR'd, and hopefully I'll get to it before it gets deleted because we need space on the DVR.
Right, because the wife or the kids want to tape something.
Yeah, my shows are expendable.
Yes. Why is that? My
leaving for 4 days.
Alrighty. So we're getting close to an hour here. So anything coming up you want to plug? Any cons you're going to be at?
Okay, December 6th through 8th, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, Steel City Con.
Okay.
The weekend after that, I will be Hamilton, New Jersey for Jersey City Con.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm not at Virginia Con, obviously, but there's a couple guys, Joe Martino from the Mighty Titan. He's actually at the con. He's got some of my prints with him. I think it was table A45, so anybody in that area, stop on by.
Okay.
We've got a Kickstarter running right now for Posers 2. Still got like 20-some days left in it. We're almost at our goal, but obviously every bit helps. Got some great prizes, sketch covers, stuff like that. We got the Pinoy Invasion that I'm setting up for next year, New York Comic Con. 20 Filipinos are going to be coming over. We're going to be taking orders, doing a whole lot of sketch covers, original art, 300 new prints.
Now that sounds exciting.
Yeah, this school will definitely be fun. Cool. I'm going to start touring with the Hound a little bit more. Because last year, I set up all my cons before I got with them, so it's like, I already paid. Yeah. So I kind of did my own booth, my own thing, but now it's like, you know, I'm going to go with them because they give me a table.
Right, right. Okay, cool. And are you on the Twitter?
A little bit. I hate Twitter. It's like all the hashtags.
Well, if people wanted to find you on Twitter.
It's under Pross Comics. Pross, yeah, I'm surprised people keep following me, and I love to like post like 4 times in 2 years. But yeah, I got 20 followers. I'm pretty badass.
Oh, there you go. And
yeah, I'm popular.
Well, let's see. And then you're on Pross Comics is on Facebook.
Yes.
There, I just followed you on Twitter.
All right, 21.
There you go. And there is a website, but I went there and it's just coming soon.
I actually gotta give the webmaster all the material, and that would involve me writing bios and all my characters and all that stuff. It's like,
so it would require,
takes a while to do.
It would require some actual work.
Yeah. Like, it's different. I love writing my books, but like that stuff feels like homework to me.
Yeah. No. I totally agree.
Like Brims keeps getting on me, like, yeah, you need to get the bios of your characters up on the page for your books. Like, yeah, I'll get to that. Yeah, just got a couple more books to write, a couple more cons to go to, but it'll definitely be 2014.
Cool. All right. Well, everyone should keep an eye out for that. And can we buy any of the books online right now through Hound Comics? Or
yes, you can go through Hound Comics. I know they got a deal coming up soon where it's going to be on Comixology.
Okay, cool.
You can obviously buy through either me or them at the cons. They have stuff, I believe it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Drive-Thru Comics.
Oh, cool. All right. So everyone should keep their eyes out at those places for those books. And, John, it was great having you on.
Thanks for having me.
It was a great conversation. And to everyone listening, as always, don't let your cape be caught in the door. Have a good week. Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And additionally, you can also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak. This is John, and you can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com, and if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.